Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. Lunch with Norm. All right, we are broadcasting to you live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. If you happen to be watching a replay, just skip ahead. And if you're on my profile page, you can always hop over to the official Beard Guy fan page, Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, and watch short clips, the whole episodes, as well as content and other good things. So check it out. Also, I wanted just to mention, a lot of people don't know that I do have another podcast, non-Amazon based. It's solely about really interesting people, their ups, their downs, and everything in between. I have had a few Amazon people on there that you'll recognize, but we've got top entrepreneurs, business people, actors, I mean, just people that are making a difference in today's world. So check it out. I know this guy. Now, that being said, where's my son?
I'm here.
Welcome, how are you everyone. Today, Kelsey?
I am fantastic. I have my little Tim's coffee. I'm
very good
to go. Yes, how are you?
I'm doing okay. For those that don't know Tim's coffee, Tim Hortons, a pretty well-known brand here in Canada.
That's correct.
All right. Okay, what do we have to do?
If you're watching right now, hit that like button and maybe even that share button. That would be nice. We are an official podcast, so you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you find your podcast. You can find Lunch with Norm. You can even go to our website right here, lunchwithnorm.com, and you can find our guest bios, all the past episodes, clips, everything. So,
I got to say this. Giz, I don't know if that's a first name or whatever it is. I agree. Other people, hundreds, tens of millions of people swarm Tim Hortons every day. And I don't know what they see in it, but no, I don't get it. I'll take McDonald's coffee over that. Oh, Victor. Okay, very good. Now we know who we're talking to. Okay, so I think that's it for today's updates.
Yep. Yeah, let's jump right into it.
All right. And I hope Tim's doesn't come back and sue me or anything. Most of the time, it's okay coffee. But anyway, today we're going to be diving deep into the exit process for Amazon sellers. And not only Amazon, I mean, this is his general in e-com business. But I'm going to be introducing co-founder of Fortunate, Yale Cabley. And I know that she's going to come back and say I pronounced her name wrong. Fortunate is an investment banking firm that deals with Amazon businesses. And that being said, we're also going to be joined by a seven-figure Amazon seller, Aiden Brazelier, and to hear his experience selling the Amazon business. So if you have any questions, just throw them over in the comment box. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. So we have two people on today. Hello.
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 And from what I understand, this is hello from Israel, both of you.
From Tel Aviv, both of us.
Oh, beautiful city. How is it today?
It's amazing. Very good day. We have the Jewish holiday tomorrow, so everybody's getting ready. But we are at home, so I guess like everybody else in the world, right?
Yeah, I'm stuck in Toronto. So. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Yale?
So my name is Yale. I'm one of the co-founders of Fortunate. As you said, an investment banking firm that deals with exits of Amazon businesses. We focus on 7- and 8-figure businesses, and we help them selling the business. So we start from the beginning when they actually think about it, when's the right time, should I sell it? And then we help through the financials. We prepare the, you know, the marketing deck. We find the buyer really from the beginning until they actually exit.
Okay. And Aiden, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. Pleasure to be here. So my name is Aiden. I'm located in Tel Aviv, as you said. Originally, I'm a mechanical engineer, also MBA graduate. And after a few years in the industry, I decided to go on my own path, and I decided to start selling on Amazon, like many others. I started in 2016. It was the first year and a half I was selling on Amazon with a partner, and in the last 2 years I've been selling by myself on Amazon, and I sold my business. I would like to say my first e-commerce business a couple of months ago.
I'd like to know, and this is just complete curiosity, and I hope you say the right thing, but I guess if you don't, I'm going to look bad. But how important was your brand when you were building your Amazon business?
How important was my brand in what sense? Like to me personally? Or
yeah, when you were building your business to get it ready to exit, if you knew from the start, and I guess that's what I should ask, did you know from the start that you were going to exit?
No, I had no idea. That's why I made a couple of mistakes along the way. Other people can learn from. When I started the business in 2016, first of all, it didn't even cross my mind that selling is a possibility, just because I didn't know anything about the business. But on top of that, I think that, and maybe Yael knows better, I think that selling e-commerce and Amazon businesses specifically was a rare thing. It wasn't very common. It started, I think, to be a bit more common a year ago, in the last year. So I had no idea in the beginning I'm heading that way.
Okay, so what about the brand? So the look, the feel, the perceived value, everything that you did from the like when you brought your brand onto Amazon or the micro brand, was it important at the end of the day?
Yeah, I think each seller brings its own unique value to his brand, and if you want to build a successful brand, you should try to, you know, give as much value as possible. In my case, what I did was, because I came from mechanical engineering, for me it was easier to do like mechanical changes in the product, like improve it. So I changed the products a bit, and I thought about like how can I create a small brand but with a higher value. And I was very meticulous about it in the beginning. I still am, but that was like my perspective from the beginning. And I think it proved itself like a good call in the end, because when you want to sell your business, if your brand has more value than just a generic brand, it's easier to sell, and the value is higher. And yeah, that's what I did. I made like stayed in the same niche, which were mechanical, like physical products from made out of plastic, toys and gadgets, changed them, modified them, and branded them with my own brand.
Okay. Yael, to build a successful Amazon business, where can we start?
So this is a question that many ask. I think that, if those that already sold the business, they do things differently the second time. Mm-hmm. Selling on Amazon and getting, you know, high profits, I guess that's the main thing, right? We all think about creating a brand. We think about creating maybe a Shopify in addition. But at the end, what you want and what you really need to sell the business for the right price is a high profit, a high profit or a good profit, because at the end you get a multiple on your profit. So focus on selling and selling well. You know, you don't need consultants to do that. You don't need me to do that. Do what you know and do it best. What you do need to know, I guess, from the beginning is the tax part. So many people, you know, when they sell the business, they discover a little late, the taxes that they're going to pay, and maybe the initial structure wasn't right. So these are things that you want to know from the beginning when you start the business. So I would start with that, you know, taxes, right structure, selling well, getting, you know, surrounded by a good professional and go from there.
So typically when a company comes to you, are you looking at buying a business at that point, or the person, the Amazon seller, is selling the business at that point? Or are you looking, you're doing an evaluation, and then you're telling them, I don't know, it might take 6 months, 18 months. How often do Amazon sellers have to go back and optimize their business rather than just selling it right off the bat?
Oh, so very often they come to us more than a year before they sell. And I think that's the best time to come to us.
Right.
So we look at it and we analyze it together. We prepare reports and then we understand the growth and we create the forecast. So when you look at the forecast and you understand that it's going to grow and maybe triple by the end of December, it's obviously not the right time to sell. So, we would advise you to wait. If it's growing mildly and it looks like a good business, it's also, you know, you're always asking yourself, at any time of the year, you know, I will always be growing. So I can always say, let's wait and, you know, I'll get more. So it's also very difficult to find the right time and to know, to say, okay, that's it. I'm going to sell it now. So what we do is really, we start about a year before they want to sell. We look at the forecast. We give, you know, advice on how to get to that goal. That they want to get to, how to prepare the financials and get ready on the legal side. And when we get there, then we start the process.
So can you walk us through maybe 3 to 5 areas that you're looking at that are critically important?
Yeah. So what we do when we prepare the financials, first of all, you need to know how the business is evaluated. The way it's evaluated is that they take your profit. A profit is the revenue minus all of Amazon's fees. You retract the PPCs and the cost of goods and shipping. That's your profit. And you apply a multiple of 2 to 5, depending, you know, on many criteria on that business. So when we start the process, we first evaluate it, you know, if you were to sold it right now, what would you get on it? What is its value right now? Okay. And then we take all the criteria that buyers are looking at, and we try to see if you're going to sell it in a year, then let's see if you can improve it knowing the criteria. So for example, one thing you really need to be ready to is the whole IP part. So here I'm wearing my lawyer hat for a second, but IP is super important. Trademarks must be in order. We had cases where the seller did not have a trademark in China, it turns out that somebody stole the trademark in China and kind of hijacked it. And then it could be really a legal problem for the buyer. So buyers are looking at that. Buyers want to make sure that you're not infringing any patents. So if you know you're infringing a patent, you know, you should say that and you should handle that before you start the process. Accounting on the taxes and accounting part, we had a case where, you know, when the seller got an offer at that moment, and it was really hard to get to the multiple he wanted. It took us several months. We got to that offer and then he said, oh, let me check just with my CPA, what's left for me after taxes. And he went away for, you know, a few weeks and the offer wasn't relevant anymore. So, we really, really advise our clients to get ready on that part, meet with your CPA before, you know, a year before you, sell the account. And if you can, then when you actually establish the business, if you know you establish it for a sale, There are things that can be done, and there are very interesting structures in most of the countries. So these are things that, you know, if you know it in advance and if you're listening now, even if in 2 years you're going to sell it, it's very good to know where you are, make sure IP is in order, all the legal part and accounting, taxes. Yeah.
Very good. Just a quick couple of shout outs. One over to Terry in North Carolina. Hey, we already said hi to Victor, but hi again, Victor and Simon. I just noticed that you put in a comment. Victor mentioned, and this is where I met you too. Victor mentioned that he met you at the ASGTG show last year in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So
in
yeah.
In January, it's my last flight actually. I miss New York.
Yeah, I went there. I went to one other show, and then that was it. I ended in February. But Kelsey, did Simon have something? What was the question that he had?
Yeah, so he's saying there's a lot of talk about exit in the Amazon community right now. It is equally important to talk about succession. Not everyone is in the game to cash out.
True. Yeah, so one of the – there's many people – who want it as legacy, right? They want to leave it to their kids. They want to grow it out. It's it could be an incredible family business, you know, not only on Amazon, but if you decide to go out and create it in, you could, I'm not going to say this, retail, but maybe e-tail. I don't know about retail right now. Let's see what happens with it. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunities to build a legacy account for your family. So yeah, you have to make that decision if you're going to sell your business. And typically, I know Eden is a little bit different from a lot of the Amazon sellers that I've talked to, where they go in wanting to sell a business. But typically, I'll go in if I'm starting a business and I'll work exit strategy back because I already know that. And, you know, why don't we talk about that, like exit strategy? Eden, when did you start the exit strategy? Because you went in there not knowing that you were going to sell the business, you know. And Yael, did you help with the exit strategy?
So, yes. So I thought about it only in, like less than a year ago. I started thinking about it when I heard other people who sold their businesses, and I understood it's a possibility. And I think, by the way, it also happened with one of the reasons, one of the seeds that were planted in my brain was from Yael. We met in a conference, and she told me that it's happening and she's doing that. And I was thinking I should probably do it also. And then I discussed it with her, and we both agreed I should probably wait until after Christmas, because I had a very good year last year, and Christmas is always the best period when you are in my categories, in my niche. And I started thinking about it then. And then in the beginning, just after Christmas, in the beginning of January, I started putting up all the finance reports and, you know, actually compile a file, like going ahead with the sale. So it was like a slow process.
Any thoughts on exit, when people should start and what they should be looking at to create a proper business exit plan? Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, at the end, if they should exit, I'm thinking about the previous question of the person on Facebook. I think that it's a big question if to exit, and it's a very legitimate question. And I think that if, you know, if we look at all our clients and why they're selling, you know, many of them weren't aware of it, just like Idan. One of the main reasons I think that they say they want to sell the business is probably to de-risk, sell what they currently have, get like profits of 3 years, 4 years, you know, one now. And then they build a new business, you know, after they sell that one. So they don't stop selling on Amazon. They usually build it, you know, they sell it, they get the money for 3 years, and then they rebuild the brand. Usually it takes them half the time, within a year and a half, they already got to the point they were before. So we already, although it's a quite, you know, young business or young industry, we are now seeing people who sold in 2017, 2018, you know, selling again the business very soon. So that's one reason they want to sell it in the first place. And sometimes, you know, we see partners that don't really get along and they need a way out. That's also a very common reason to sell the business. We also see people who just need the money right now for other ventures or for something personal, their family. So that can be another reason. Or people are just frustrated with Amazon. You know, that they can't bear it anymore. They just want out. It's becoming difficult, especially when you have a large business. You know, our clients with eight figures, at some point, it becomes a real business. It's not just a person at home with the computer and, you know, two VAs. An eight-figure business becomes something very serious and more difficult to operate. And sometimes they say, okay, that's the right time for me to get out and maybe rebuild something.
Right. I'm curious about accounting. So Amazon accounting is a little bit different than your typical accounting. So do you advise people on getting a bookkeeper or a proper accountant? Do you handle something like that?
So we, you know, at the end, it's not that complex. You know, when I look at our business, you know, in my business, I'm always frustrated that I never know what the situation is. I only know 2 months later when I get the info from my accountant. With Amazon businesses today, you have, you know, Seller Legend, Seller Board. You have amazing programs that can tell you at any moment where you stand, you know, where you are, what's your profit. So it's not that difficult on a daily basis. You need the regular, you know, CPA that knows a bit about Amazon, and that's it. Where you really need professionals is planning the taxes, you know, planning ahead, like the structure, as I said, and at the sale. The P&L, you know, the P&L that we prepare for the sale, the CPA doesn't prepare it. We actually prepare it. It's not, you don't need, you know, ever a crazy CPA for that. You need the reports from Amazon. You need the cost of goods and shipping and, you know, being organized, and we help with that. But no, it's not that I wouldn't be worried about that part. You know, on a daily basis, you should know where you are and just use those programs. They're amazing. And when you sell, your consultant can help you with that. It's not something to be worried about.
If I may add something, sure. From a seller perspective, because I didn't think about it in the beginning, as I mentioned, I made many of the potential mistakes. One of the things that would have made it much easier for me to understand at any given moment what is the potential of the business, and also when selling, like to understand the finance, is the separation of the Amazon business, the e-commerce business, from any other stream of revenues or any other business. What I did, I had my own company where I am in Israel. And when I started selling online, I just, you know, added this revenue stream into my existing company. And when you come to sell and when you get to the point you want to sell the business, it's kind of entangled, and you need to start thinking about what exactly are the incomes and the what is the accurate profit and revenues and expenses. So one thing I definitely recommend is if you know in advance you're about to sell, is to actually have everything separated. And the second thing is taxation. As Yael mentioned, again, I made this mistake also. If you know in advance you're going to sell, consult with your local accountant on what is the best way to create the best legal entity that will help with the taxation at the time of the sale. I didn't do both of these things, unfortunately.
Especially if you're international. I made a huge mistake years ago, and it was something as simple as a stock swap. So in the States, it's a wash. In Canada, they tax you. So it ended up that the offer that I was doing a happy dance and thought everything was going to be great. Kelsey, you were actually, you know, going to go to, university. You already did go to university. But anyways, it turned out I had to turn down the deal. It was an incredible deal because I would have had to pay 50% tax here in Canada because of the stupid stock swap, where it would have been a wash in the States. So international tax consulting is also very important. The way that you set up your business at the very beginning is important. Pay the extra. Go to Yale to make sure that it gets set up properly. But the other thing that's so important, and I'm really curious to hear about this, does a valuation of a company, if you have VAs rather than employees, does that make a difference?
So I'll say what I think about that. It depends if it's a big business, a large one, or a small one. When it's an eight-figure business, I can tell you, we see what the buyer asks. They want the employees of the business. They want to continue working with them because it's, you know, it's already an operation. It's hard to continue from where you are. So they do want the employees. So you should be prepared to hand them over and, you know, to your buyer. So it can be VAs, but it can also be, employees in the States or wherever you are. With smaller businesses, it doesn't really matter. Most of the buyers, you know, they know what they're doing. They have their team. They're very happy to have a VA. It's easier. But if you don't, it's not a deal breaker. If it's a large business and you don't have, and you know, and you really want to keep your employees, then start training employees for the buyer. That's what I would say.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about the journey.
Before we jump in, we have a couple questions.
Sure.
So one's from Victor. Yale, can you opine on length of time operating the Amazon business account versus average multiple? All other things being equal, what is optimum, 3 years?
So it's a good question. You know, buyers don't like a new business because, you know, you don't see the history there's not enough history to see where it's going and to make sure it's stable. So they usually want, you know, three years is great. 3 years is actually very often that's the time where people start selling their business because in the first year they haven't gotten to where they are. But there are exceptions. We saw businesses, we sold several businesses that were less than 2 years. They grew super fast. They got to several millions per year, very, very fast. A year and a half, you know, they already got there. Especially the second time, as I told you, once you sell your business, you have money, you have the knowledge, you'll be quick. So buyers don't say no to that. Sometimes the multiple will be a little lower because of that, but not something, you know, very, very significant. I'd say a year is a minimum, probably. But the rest is.
Yeah, I sold in less than 2 years, and it was okay. And it reminds me that someone has said before that he wants to like create a big brand and not just sell it when it's maybe too soon. If you want to grow like a sustainable brand, so many people, the way I see it, many people still want to do that, and to get there faster, they want to sell their business in order to reboot or to restart a business that grows faster and bigger and like better in a way. And some people want just to cash out. It depends, but it doesn't contradict. You can sometimes want to sell it in order to just do it again and again. And sometimes you do want to create your own big brand. And what I'm doing now is trying to make a bigger brand, actually, following the sale.
There was one other question, Kels.
Yep. Okay. So, Nare, I mostly worry about the Amazon account ownership. Does Amazon allow account transfer officially? I heard the initial owner has to be still in contact with the buyer to substantiate the ownership when questioned by Amazon. What happens when the account gets suspended?
Yeah. So I'll reply to that unless Idan wants to. So when you ask Amazon, so all the transfer are done with Amazon's permission. So all the sales that you've seen where there has been a change of ownership, Amazon allows it. They say you can, you know, you can transfer the ownership, go ahead and do it. You actually receive their permission. Having said that, there is, you know, there is a connection still to the original owner. We know that when something bad happens and you need the verification, Amazon kind of goes back to the original owner of the account. That's why the original owner, you know, signs that he will, you know, if you need something from him, he will be there to help with verification and everything. But it's only, I'd say it's only on that part. Officially, Amazon allows it. It's transfer. You can see on the account that the legal entity, you know, was transferred to the buyer. The bank account, the credit card, everything is transferred to the buyer. Yes, there is history. Yes, the original owner, the Amazon remembers it. But it shouldn't affect, even in case of suspension, if you're suspended for intellectual property, or if you're suspended for, I don't know, defect rate, that doesn't affect the original owner. I've never seen a case where it did.
So what happens if you get, you try to contact Amazon and tell them that you're going to be so from what I understand, that both parties have to notify Amazon that it's going to happen. What happens, and this happened recently, when they say you're not allowed to transfer the brand, or you're not allowed to sell the business. This just happened. So contacting Amazon said, oh, you know, blah, 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 blah. Basically taking for what you just said. And they said, our policy is that you cannot sell the business.
Well, I've transferred over, you know, probably hundreds of accounts, not as part of Fortunet, also as part of the law firm. I have not seen a case where Amazon says, hey, you cannot transfer ownership.
That's
never.
Just my luck. Yep. But it happened. It literally just happened about 3 months
was
ago.
Was it in Europe? In Europe, it's different.
No, it was here. And then I did go back and it was straightened out.
And then they allowed it.
Right.
Yeah, so never had a case where they switched.
Yeah, it happened. And they just said, yeah, I guess they pulled up the wrong thing on their screen, but they did come back. So if it does happen, here's how we resolved it. We just reopened it again and told them that this is what we wanted. And as long as both parties, you know, contact Amazon, that's fine. And the other thing, brand registry. So there's no problem switching brand registry. You just have to change the ownership. And I get that question a lot. Do you see any issues with it, or?
No. So in most cases, since the account is actually sold, so it's sold with the brand registries because it's associated with it, you know, same email. So usually there's no issue around that. But even when you don't buy the account, you just buy the listings, we just transfer the brand registry. What you do is you ask to add, you know, the administrator adds another administrator and another brand owner, and then you remove the original one from the brand registry. So very easy process, takes a second. Transferring the account is also a pretty easy process in the US. In Europe, on the other hand, they don't allow it. So right now they're actually changing the rules as we speak, but generally speaking, they don't allow it in Europe. They actually, you know, when you try, they tell you, okay, let me see. And then you're stuck for months trying to pass verification. So in Europe, we don't do it. We just transfer it to the buyer's European account. We transfer the listings, not the account.
We got a question for Eden. I think from Victor, right?
All right. Let me see. So may I ask what your multiple was? And then also he's a couple other comments.
Dan cannot talk about it.
Oh, okay.
I can say average for, like, I know other people who bought, but it depends on, I think a thumb rule, I think the average is like three times the profit, but it varies for different reasons. For example, the way you calculate your profit can change in depends like what happened. This is why We said before, you should definitely consult with professionals before you make this process. Even the selling of the account we just talked about, if you consult with people how to do it properly, I never heard of any account that was suspended in the selling process. So usually it's three, and sometimes it could be less, sometimes it can be more. It depends on the general revenue and profit, like what's the nominal number at the end. Also, if it's like a trendy product or not. Naturally, if it's a trendy product, you are expected to get less. And if it's something that just, you know, climbs every day and you sell more and more, you might get more. It depends.
There are many factors that affect your the multiples that you're gonna get. One of them, you know, going back to what I said earlier, having patents and copyrights on your product means that, you know, you're unique and you can actually enforce it and prevent others from using it. That's an advantage, and it's something that takes the multiple up. So if you actually invented something and your product is unique, then speak with, you know, your IP lawyer and try to do it before the sale and you know, maximize the value of this account.
Tell us a couple more questions.
Yep, from Victor again. What is the best practice for grooming multiple businesses' accounts for eventual sale on a laddered basis? So if they sell account A in 12 months, B in 18 months, C in 24 months, etc. And the follow-up, of course, they have to be kept separate entities, but are there other important considerations?
I'm not sure I understood the question. Norm, do you understand what it means, grooming multiple businesses accounts? So, I mean, you can just, you know, talking about selling on multiple accounts, by the way, Amazon allows it. They changed the rules about 3 to 4 months ago, saying that you can sell on multiple accounts under the same entity, as long as you have a good business reason for that. So if you have, you know, several different brands in different categories, that's a great reason for opening a separate account. And you can, you know, you can grow them separately. If Norm, if you understand the rest
I'm
of the question.
I'm not sure if I can... Victor, if you could clarify that. From what I understand, you're looking at separate businesses. So they're separate businesses selling within a 12 to 18 month period. Want to sell different brands at different times?
So I don't think there's a specific strategy for doing that. I mean, if you have a few businesses, you can decide to sell them maybe two in the same time or in separate times. I think that's what the question is about. I don't think there's like a specific strategy on how to sell many accounts, like a time between one sale and another.
So that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing
it depends when you start. Like I know a person, I just kept on reading the what he just tried. I think what he wants to know or she wants to know, like if you have multiple accounts, what is the minimum time? So as we said before, you can do it in less than 2 years, a year, maybe even 3 years. I know someone that started few accounts at the same time, and then whenever he wants, they're all aged, I guess, like at least a year or two. And then whenever you want to cash out a certain account, just go ahead and set it.
An interesting strategy, by the way, that we see often lately is when people know they want to sell the business in like a year, they start preparing their next one. So, you know, they open a separate account under a different entity. They start getting organized there. They start selling so that when they sell the business, they'll have the next one. You know, sometimes it depends how you operate the other one and how much time, you know, you need for the other one. I think that one of the most important things when you want to exit and you want to sell the business is to remember to, you know, to keep an eye on your account and manage it as if you're not selling the business. We had cases that were pretty sad, you know, sellers who wanted to sell the business. They started the process, and during the process, they say, okay, I'm selling it. I mean, I'm not going to get more inventory. I'm not going to get do this and do that. I had plans, but, you know, I'm selling it. So let's stop the plans. I'm not going to launch new products. And what happened is that the you know, the account started declining. Buyers do not like declining accounts, or they like them and they give them, you know, very low multiples. So he eventually waited, and he waited more than a year to resell it. Then he resold it, and it was great. But I'm saying, I mean, the best thing is to remember to manage the account as if you're not selling. Do whatever you were supposed to do, because anyway, the buyer will pay for your inventory. If you launch new product, you get the profit and you get a multiple on that profit. And if the buyer sees that five products have just been launched, then it takes your, you know, your multiple higher. The account has a higher value because we can claim, hey, there's a profit that, you know, I'm not going to get. Or we can have a transaction that takes that into consideration. So we're going to do like an earnout or something to make sure that you get those profits. So, you know, just remember this. It's a very, very important fact that, you know, you need to remember when you plan the sale.
You brought a good point up when you said the sales started to decline. And one of the things that I can talk about past experience is that you really do have to take a look at your niche, your competitors, do a competitive analysis and check where they're coming. Are there a lot more coming in? And do a proper sales forecast. I mean, ideally, you can take a look at it, you know, on the quarter, twice a year, at least annually. And if you start to see a trend coming, that'll give you an idea too, because you always want to sell when your account is going up or your sales are going up rather than going down. You just shoot yourself in the foot. And the other thing, you know, when we talk about selling the business, we're talking about selling the assets of the business. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. You don't sell in most cases, like 99% of the cases, you sell the assets. You don't sell the company.
Right.
Buyers, yeah, most of the buyers do not buy the company, with exceptions, of course.
And this sounds so stupid, but I've seen it come back and it really affected the sale. It's not disclosing. So when people are doing due diligence, and let's say there's a possible lawsuit or it's a tax, you get the question about taxes, you know, have you paid your taxes? If you hide that, or if you're just not truthful about certain things, it can definitely come back to bite you. And I don't know if you have anything to say about that, but it's so important.
Yeah. I mean, I think that sometimes it's not the, you know, the seller's entire fault and he didn't do that on purpose. Sometimes the seller just forgets and doesn't think that it's an important fact. So I guess, you know, one of our challenges is always asking the right question. You know, have you paid sales tax? What about custom? Do you pay full custom? I mean, you need to ask the question and guide the seller so that it doesn't forget anything. Buyers are forgetful if it's in good faith. You know, if you're hiding a serious patent issue that you're obviously aware of, and you talk about it only at a very, very late stage in the due diligence when they actually asked you or checked, that's a problem. Right from the beginning, you know, you need to think of all the, you know, of all the things that buyer want to know, and remember that the things, I mean, they will find out. They look at everything, you know. Don't hide expenses on rebates, for example. The buyer will find out. Even if you bought reviews, tell the buyer. Tell the buyers they're not stupid. They know that some of the reviews are incentivized. Tell them in advance because they'll know anyway.
Right. Okay, we have another question there, Kels.
Yes, and this is just a 10-minute warning.
Okay.
For the show. So is buying a Chinese Amazon business good idea? They are under different rules, I heard, and maybe not a good idea for an American person, or is it?
No, I don't see any problem with Chinese accounts. If it's selling in the US, it's just the same.
Also, sometimes there are differences if the ownership is the legal entity is from one country or another. But the moment you purchase the Chinese account, you switch the legal entity to a US one, and then all the rules apply to you as an American citizen. So I don't think it matters a lot.
Actually, with pesticides and all those restrictions referring to being American, they actually want you to establish the account in the first place in the name of a U.S. account. So some things apply, don't apply, but I don't see any difference between a Chinese account or a French account or an account of a German seller. As long as they're selling in the U.S., it's a good account, no serious black hats. Selling well on Amazon. No, they buy the assets. Again, they don't buy the company.
Okay, Eden. Mistakes. If you had to do things all over again, what would you do differently?
Wow, I can think of a handful of things. There's several things actually. Okay, so first of all, the complete separation we mentioned before. A different company. Let's say if it's in the States, it can be a different LLC or any other legal entity which is separated. If you are able to separate everything, which means also the domains, because eventually if you can just give them the domain and they have the email with the brand registry, it makes everything easier. So the domain ownership, IPs, accounting, legal entity, everything separated. You want everything to be properly, let's say that I give you an example. What I did is, besides the fact everything was entangled, which it was, I also had an issue with the way I wrote some of the trademarks. So you want to make sure eventually it was fine. I corrected it along the way, but you want to do it from the beginning. Everything is well written or submitted. You want everything to be transparent, as Yael mentioned before. Never hide anything on purpose, and try not to hide anything not on purpose. Try to know everything. Also, taxation, as I said, consulting in the beginning. If you want to say to, if your strategy is an exit strategy, understand it can take probably a couple of years, and also try to aim for profit, because if you want to build a brand, so you'll probably want to aim for revenues, and you'll always. I say it's like sitting at a poker table, and you always like all in, and you never have like profits because you want to invest more and more if you want to grow the business a lot. But if you want to have like an exit strategy, maybe try to aim more for profits and less for revenues. What else did I do? What I didn't do right? I'm thinking of my own experience. I'll say consult many people because I didn't, and it probably would have helped. And make sure the account is completely healthy, like 100%, no notifications, no legal claims, no nothing. If anything is open with Amazon, then sort it in advance. And also understand that the time period it takes to sell the account, you need to take it into account as well. It's usually a couple of months. So if you want to sell an account, understand it's a process. And even at the moment you find a buyer, then there's a process, there's a sell process. So you want to be ready to have like a proper account that will sustain and will keep on growing for many months, starting the moment you want to start the sell process. Okay. I think that's pretty much it.
So if I could, like, there's a couple of things that I look at that just, they don't actually build the multiples, but it's more attractive. Like, one would be, a proper business plan. The other one would be building out SOPs, so you could do a turnkey operation when somebody's looking. Just makes life easier. It doesn't really do anything for, I don't think, to the multiples. But are there any other things that people can do to make the purchase more appealing?
And any value you can add to your products or to your account, it can be you can differentiate your products, which is extremely important, I think. You can have like expertise of on a specific niche. You can, as you said, have many SOPs or even VAs that you can sell as a package. One, like the buyer who bought my business took two of the VAs in the deal. If you have unique design patents or even patents, any of these things will help you get an extra value. If you're launching products, if you're in a niche that is like trending, but in the beginning of the trend, all the additional values you can add, you should probably want to do it, regardless if you're going to sell or not. By the way, that's the way I see it.
Okay, so we know that Yale's got a hard stop coming up. So why don't we do this? If there's any other questions, just post them and we'll get back to you shortly. But how would you, is there anything else that you would like to talk about? Let's put this as the last question for Yale and Idan.
So I'll say, just to complete what Idan was saying, how to maximize the value. And so one of the mistakes that we see a lot, and we've talked about that, is thinking how to maximize the value before a sale and then going to different strategies that are not necessarily the right one. For example, many sellers told me that they heard that the best thing is to have a Shopify account because it obviously takes up the multiple. It's actually true. Buyers obviously like a brand that's not only on Amazon, but also on other platforms. But many of the sellers don't succeed with that. And it takes their focus away from Amazon. So they try selling on Shopify. They're trying to advertise on Facebook and, they're focusing on that for a while and they spend a lot of money and then they spend money on consultants and the profit goes down as well as their attention. So sometimes, if you're good at launching new products, then launch new products. If you're good at, expanding to other platforms or other countries, like, for example, Amazon France or UK, then do that. But starting things, if you know you're going to sell in a year or 10 months, starting crazy, crazy adventures that you know nothing about is not necessarily the good thing. It's a good thing only if that's what you planned, okay? And it goes back to my point. Do what you would do if you didn't sell the account. If you had a plan to go on Shopify and that was your plan, then go ahead and do it. If you're doing that only for the sale, then I would say just focus on things that bring you the most, many profits. If you're better at launching new product on Amazon US, then do that. That's my two cents.
That is great advice. And Idan, anything else?
First of all, I completely agree with what Yael just said. I guess my advice to the sellers, if you thinking about selling the business, actually now is a good time to do that. We didn't talk about it, but I had a bumpy road because of the corona. In the beginning, I lost I'll do it quickly. In February, I lost the deal, which was already almost finalized because of the corona. And then 2 months afterwards, I found a different buyer that actually the investors behind this, the buyer actually looked at the corona as opportunity and not as a risk, like the first investor, like the first buyer. So I ended up selling in a higher margin. And the buyer who bought from me actually ended up having like a couple of months of much higher revenues. We both benefited from the corona. And what happens now is that many people are going online. And at the moment, there are many buyers out there that are looking to invest in e-commerce businesses, which wasn't like that a year ago. And again, this entire period makes our businesses more attractive in comparison to others, both for investors and for buyers. So if you think about it now, it's a very good time. And you get 3 years worth of future profit right now, more or less. Yeah. and with no risk. So again, if it's a real thought, consult someone. You can write me. You can probably obviously you can write Yael, and see if you can capitalize on the situation at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, so it's very much true regarding the coronavirus crazy period.
It is. So how can people get in contact with you?
My email is Yael, Y-A-E-L, at fortunet.net, or on Facebook, Yael Kabili, WhatsApp, wherever you prefer.
Wherever. You're everywhere.
I'm not a service provider, but if someone wants to write me a question, they can just look me on look me up on Facebook and just write me. I'll do my best to reply.
Fantastic. So thank you both for being on the podcast today. This is great. There's some information that you were talking about that I have not heard discussed in the past. So that's very cool. No, I really appreciate you staying on. Yael, I know that you have something coming up in 5 minutes, so I'm going to make this really quick. So everybody, thank you for tuning in today. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Again, if you have any questions, just throw them in the comment box and we will get back to you. We are posting the whole podcast in the Norm Farrar, aka Beard Guy fan page. And it's going to have highlights as well as content, you name it. We've got a newsletter that we've been putting out every Monday, and I always try to let people know that it doesn't suck. Sign up. It's good content. You'll learn something. It's not just Amazon. It's all across the online sales. So check it out and let us know, because we are trying to deliver not only content here, but right across different platforms. So Kelsey, jump in. Where are you?
All right. I'm here. Thank you everyone for watching. And if you haven't yet, please like and share this video. And it looks like Victor is saying good stuff. Awesome. Yep.
Sorry too, Simon.
Yep. Oh, Simon. Yep. Yeah. Great discussion. Loads of great advice here. Thanks. Perfect. So follow us on social media. We have Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. We're across the board. We have a website up here, lunchwithnorm.com, and subscribe to us as a podcast and leave a review. That would be appreciated. Oh.
And tomorrow we're going off schedule Thursday. Nathan Hirsch is going to be here and we're going to be talking about VAs and just, you know, a very broad overview of what's happening. Nathan is incredible. If you've ever heard him talk, he talks on a podcast every day. If you ever heard him talk, the systems that he has in place to find incredible high quality VAs, don't miss out. So check us out tomorrow, same time. And we're always on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at noon Eastern Standard Time. So thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow. Lunch with the